We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Welcome back to The Spark. I'm Marquise Lupton. Brandon Leak is a renowned spoken word poet, artistic educator, and motivational speaker who blends his artistry and charisma with his distinctive personal narrative, which has propelled him to stages across the globe, and one of those stages most notably being season 15 of NBC TV's America's Got Talent, where millions of Americans saw Brandon win and earning the Golden Buzzard accolade from none other than Howie Mandel. And on Thursday, April 4th, you can hear Brandon's latest work at the Ware Center in Lancaster. And I'm happy to have Brandon join us on The Spark today. But before we get to the interview, we have a little nugget for you.
I have two facts for you. One, I'm 6 feet tall. And two, love is the most vulnerable thing one will ever have. And you must learn to hold on to it loosely, so when it leaves, it won't exit so painfully. On July 14th, 1996, an angel was brought to this earth. Her name, Danielle Marie Gibson, but I only know her as Puff. Her smile is as wide as the universe. Her eyes, they glimmer like the stars. She is my world and my sister. I, just 4 years old at the time, learned what it meant to love selflessly for on days in which my strength was but knee high. Seeing her smiling face would make my soul fly. But on March 23rd, 1997, I've been ground bound because she left Earth to go back home amongst the stars right next to God. But I was left here to manufacture wings out of tears and broken dreams. Yet I'm still haunted by these nightmares because...
Ooh, goosebumps. I will tell you that. Goosebumps all over my arms right now. And I would like to welcome Brandon on The Spark today. Brandon, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, man. I'm excited to get the chance to be here and to be in y'all wonderful city very soon. Very soon.
Yeah. So, starting off, can you take us to that night that we just listened to? You were on stage. I believe that was your first time being introduced to the audience. Can you take us to that moment?
Yeah, so I'll take you to the night before like lead into it. So yeah. This was the day before California shut down due to COVID. And so I had a 13-day-old daughter. I get a phone call from the team over at AGT, and they're like, hey, if you want to audition for the show, you need to be here by 8 a.m. tomorrow. I call my wife, I'm at work, and I'm like, hey, if I'm gonna audition, I have to leave. Are you cool with that? And she's like, babe, go. Mm. And I'm like, sweet. So I get my mother-in-law to come over, come make sure that my wife and my baby are good. And then I drive down to LA. My car dies on the freeway.
Oh, no.
Like, and I just send a prayer up to Jesus. I'm like, yo, God, just let me get there. Like, we can get all the rest of it taken care of. Just let me get there. Because it was a 7-hour drive.
Oh, wow. Sheesh.
And so... my car starts up an hour later. I make it to Pasadena. I get to the hotel at like 4 a.m. Mm. I sleep for like 2 hours. I go to my audition. And like the way auditions work is it's not like, oh, hey, you show up at 8 a.m. You're filming later. I'm sure as you know, it's like, oh, no, like you're doing press. You're doing interviews. You're doing conversations for like the first 6 hours. Mm-hmm. And then you get your 90 seconds in front of the judges to actually go do your thing. And during mid-interview, they stop the interview and they say, hey, everybody, we're wrapping up the, the union said, since COVID's going down here in the States, we're done.
Oh,
And
wow.
I'm like, wait, what? And they're like, oh yeah, union got us headed home, man. So best of luck, dog. So I thought the show was a wrap.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh no, just the behind the scenes stuff. You'll still do the show. And so all of that led into me standing there, and when called my name and they're like, Brandon, you're up next. And I walk up to Terry Crews and he's like, hey man, best of luck, brother. Go do what you do. And I'm like, you have no idea what I went through to be here today. Finna go rock. And yeah, man, like standing in front of like an empty auditorium with just like three judges and the production crew, it really brought me back to like early on in my poetry career when I was performing in front of empty venues at coffee shops where not many people were at, where like I booked my first tour and like I only had three people in the audience of like a 50 seat venue. And I'm like, I'm here because I love it, not for their adoration. So yeah.
So then in the back of your mind, though, you had to been thinking like, yeah, there's nobody in the auditorium, but there's a couple million people watching at home now.
Oh yeah. Especially so like this first one wasn't live, right? So like the first one is the only pre-taped version of it. And so I'm like, oh man, like how I do here is going to set the stage for like what my next 5 months is going to look like. Because if I knock this out, I'm coming back here in 2 months to come do this show every week for the next 2 months. Let's do it. And so like I had this poem that I the poem that you heard about my sister, I had been taking that and shopping it at open mics around my city of Stockton, Sacramento, San Francisco, and Oakland for 3 months, just like practicing it, workshopping it, taking it to every open mic venue, like doing it in different styles, doing it at different pacing and timing. Because I said, no, I'm not going to leave any stone unturned to not know how well this poem could go. So by the time I went to the show, it was like time 100 of doing this poem.
Okay. So what was it about this particular poem that you identified and said, you know what, this is going to be the one. This is going to be the one that causes this breakthrough.
I'll retort with a question to you. What do you think is one of the most universal emotions that people have?
I would say either sadness, fear, or happiness.
That sadness one, right? I don't know a person who hasn't grappled with loss. And when I talk to people about this poem, they talk about my sister, but they'll always come back to their relative that they replace my sister with in that poem. It's always their auntie, it's their uncle, it's their mom, their grandma, their grandpa, their father. It's their sibling, it's whoever it is. And the beauty of what I feel I do as an artist is I tell very personal stories in a universal method that people feel as if it's still them. And so that poem was meant to be a place in which people could attach themselves to immediately, because I knew I only had 90 seconds. And also knowing that since no other poet had been there, I'm like, I could go in as this lyrical miracle to like try to bar them to death. But I'm like, I'd rather make them feel than make them think. And
Absolutely.
so that was the methodology, man.
And I mean that what you just described there, it's so eerie because after the second time listening to it, I did that exact same thing. I inserted my father in that, and it really really stoked a strong emotion. Even listening to it over the air, still got goosebumps and everything like that. So we'll I'll talk more about this on the other side of the break, but I wanted to mention this before we go to our commercial break. Now, going into this contest, you were really the only one that has ever attempted spoken word. Like, it's not like poetry is a thing on America's Got Talent. So what was your mindset going in, knowing that, you know, the odds were pretty much stacked against you?
Oh, I knew it was a time to set a standard more than anything. Mm. Like, the sad part is when poetry gets put on, when spoken word gets put on, like, major platforms, like, when you see it in movies, like, in its representation, it's always this, like, very corny, like, over-dramatized version. And I'm like, I go to venues and I see people who share their hearts on their sleeves in a manner that captivates hundreds of people at a time. Mm. And so I told myself, I'm like, hey, part of why you practice every day, part of why you went and rehearsed this as, at many locations as you did, is because you are going to set a standard for spoken word on this show. So that way, when people ask about what poetry is, they can look to this and say, oh, No. It's not what I saw on this, you know, whack show. It's what I saw on America's Got Talent with Brandon Leak.
Mm.
So it was about setting a standard.
Simon Cowell did have an interesting thing to say about poetry from the beginning. He said, you know, I don't know much about poetry, you know, and coming from a figure like that, that could be, you know, kind of a demotivating. So what did you do with that, and how were you able to still perform at such a top level? We cannot hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yep, we can hear you now.
Perfect. Don't know what happened there. It didn't bother me, honestly, because I knew that it didn't hit the show before, and I knew that Simon likely hadn't consumed this art prior.
Mm.
But for myself, I've always been the guy, whether it be in basketball, who, like, showed up to tryouts and folks were like, hey, yo, man, like, he's decent, but he ain't never been all that, to, like, the poetry guy who's shown up and then it's been the same method. It's like, oh no, like, I'm never afraid of trying to prove other people wrong, of being able to show them that, like, what they see in front of them is only as small. I view myself as a goldfish. If you put me in a big, if you put me in a small enclosure, you're going to get small results, right? But if you put me in a large space, you'll be able to see just how large I can, just how large I can become.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's why I told him, I'm like, hey, I'll be a great introduction for you, because today I'm going to get a chance to really rock your world.
Yeah. And how was that process going through the show, going through each competition and everything, meeting Terry Crews and whatnot? Can you tell us how that whole process was, and then ultimately winning in the end?
So the first process I described pretty vividly, so I'll leave that one at that. But, like, the next one was I moved. So, like, we were quarantined in a hotel at Universal Studios because of COVID.
Yeah.
And so, like, all the acts were living in this hotel. So I had to leave my family back at home in Stockton and go move there for essentially 2.5 months.
Mm.
And so I remember moving in, checking in, and the unique part about my act is they don't get to suggest what poems I do.
Oh.
They just asked me to send 2 or 3 poems, and then they would pick one of those 2 or 3. Because with musical artists, they can suggest songs. With dancers, they can suggest music that they dance to. But they're like, hey, Brandon, since you're doing nothing but originals, it's kind of on you. So I remember for my second poem, I did this poem called Pookie, which had a very social justice theme to it. And I had originally pitched that against a poem about my wife. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to do this poem about my wife. I'll put it up against this other poem. They're never going to pick this one because, you know, all the civil unrest that's going on, they don't want that type of publicity on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And when they picked it, I was like, oh, dang, bro. Man. They trying to get me kicked off the show. and so when they picked it, I was like, man, I'm finna go kill it. But the, you know, middle America's the main consumer of this art, the main consumer of this show. I don't know how they gonna vibe
with
this poem.
Yeah.
And when I moved on to the third round, I was like, oh, I'm going all in. And so that's when I did this poem about my father and he and I's lack of relationship. And that was probably the hardest poem I did. And it wasn't even just the poem. It was like the week leading into it, I was promised I would get a chance to go back home to visit my family. And when they announced that I had to perform the next week, there was no chance for me to go home. And when I walked off stage, knowing that there wasn't a chance for me to go visit my daughter, because I hadn't seen her in a month and a half at that point.
Wow.
I was in an interview and we were doing all the stuff behind the scenes. And I just looked at the person behind the camera and I was like, yo, fam, honestly, I'm done. And I just took my mic off and I walked to my room and I just fell asleep crying about it. And I woke up like an hour later to banging on my door and they're like, we got word, you can go home, like we'll put you on a flight, we'll take care of it all. And I told them, I'm like, hey, you don't get it. That was 4 days ago. I needed to go home. I'm like, I perform in 2 days. I'm locked in. I'm like, but if I go to the finals, you announce that I'm moving to the finals, I'm leaving. And so I move on to the finals, and as they're like trying to get me to do these exit interviews.
Oh, I think we might have lost them. There we go.
Can you see me?
Yep.
I have no idea what my technology right now. My apologies.
That is all right. That is all right.
But can you still hear me?
Yep, can hear you just fine. I know that technology will always technology. So no worries. So as you were saying.
But no, I walked straight to my car, I drove off, and I went straight to my house, and I spent time with my daughter and my wife. And I looked my daughter in the eyes, and she was only a few months old. And I was like, this last poem I'm going to do is for you, boo boo. And she was just like, yeah. And I was like, I'm like, this last poem's for you. And that was.
Oh, we may have lost him again. Yeah, we may have lost him again. We'll go on ahead and give him a call because this interview is just so captivating. It's that first number right there, Emma. This interview is just so captivating. Yeah, we want to just give him a phone call and see if we can finish this out. Oh, he's popping up on the Zoom. All right. He is popping back up on the Zoom. No need to worry. Technology will always technology, as I say. Zoom will always Zoom. Brandon, can you hear us? Oh, I'll try it again. Brandon, can you hear us? All right. There he goes.
So,
Brandon. All
I
right.
once again, so sorry. I have no idea what's happening with my phone right now. But I'll take this as a sign to wrap this up. But no, so that's why I did my last poem about my daughter. And when I got announced as the winner from the show, I'll be honest, I never thought that I was gonna win.
Really?
When I first showed up, no, like I wanted to win, but like you also know that like these shows, it's the first person at the gate is never really the first person to win. It's usually the second or third, somebody has to come and set a precedent for it, and then that's what goes forward. But for myself, I was like, nah, bro, I don't know if I'll be able to really win, but I'll set up the next poet. But when I made it to the finals and we were at the winning stage and it was just me and two other people standing up there, when they announced that the third place winner took third place, that's the only time I knew that I won. That is the only time I knew I won. Because she was a phenomenal singer, and I was standing next when she got eliminated, and I was standing next to my boys who were these two country singers. I was like, oh, I beat them. I know I beat them. I'm like, I know I beat them.
So looking forward, you will be in Lancaster on October 4th at the Ware Center. So what can folks expect? Excuse me, April 4th. What can folks expect this Thursday?
This Thursday, expect an engaging hour of spoken word poetry and even some infusement of music into it. I'm going to be telling a bit of the narrative of my life developing and growing up, from growing up in Southeast Side Stockton in the hood to the woes and difficulties there to, being able to develop and find my relationship with God, a lot of the losses that I suffered in the midst of that journey, but also beauties that arose from, those types of trials and tribulations, and the way that we.
Nope, I think we might have lost Brandon again. Man, it might be the clouds and the storm that is going on in central Pennsylvania right now. We might have Brandon one more time before we wrap it up. Brandon, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
All right. Well, Brandon, I actually have to sign off. So I appreciate you coming on and giving us this great information about yourself and letting us know your journey prior to the technological issues. I appreciate you coming on the Spark, man. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. And I'll see y'all this week.